this man is a very interesting man. I play with him a lot. Whenever I see him, I assail him.
Tease him.
I tease him. Oh, he's so sweet to tease. This is a wonderful artist, by the way. But you have to say your name so I can...
Jim Hall.
Jim Hall.
Greetings, George Quasha. Yes. I should say George Quasha, then I get everybody confused.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. They've been already found out that I'm here. So, Jim.
Do you make this do you move this camera, or do you just keep it still?
I mostly keep it still. Once I get it adjusted, I don't move it.
Okay.
Once I see this...
That's good to know.
This is right for Jim Hall. I sometimes have to change because I sometimes people in front of my camera are very volatile.
That's why I asked that.
They're all over the place.
That's why I asked
I let them go in and out of the frame. I'm
good.
Not afraid
that's
of
what
that.
I wanted to know.
I'm not afraid of that.
I wanted to know because I might get volatile.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. I can't wait. But I let people do that because, you know, I don't have a particular view of how they should be. But I like to start out neutrally. And if they just are sort of trying to see me because they can't see me leaning to the side of the camera, I will move the camera a little bit because they'll start to lean a little bit to one side more and more and more. And that's a little boring to watch.
Do you have something to ask me here? Why am I here?
Why are you here? First of all, I wanted to hear you say your name.
Well, you knew my name.
I know, but I wanted to hear you say it, you know. This is about the human voice. We're on radio here, baby.
I'm looking at a camera there, baby.
Yeah, good.
So we're doing both.
We're talking about art today.
Are we?
And something that you do magnificently well. And I am, by the way, the proud owner of a painting by this man, which he gave me for my birthday recently. And I must say, it's a wonderful thing to have in my house.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's all alive and it's got its... own energy, and I have to have to put it in a room and close the door because it interferes with my life.
I looked at it, and I thought, this is George's brain.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nose there. That was actually perfect, yeah. Shown it to a lot of people already. So tell me, Jimmy, when did you start making art?
I started when I was born.
Oh, wow. You are artwork.
I was made art since I was a little tyke, so 60 years ago and counting.
Wow. So you started it really...
Seriously, I kind of came of age when I went to college at the University of Washington.
Uh-huh.
So I realized at that time that there was indeed a activity called art.
Mm.
And I grew up in a little town where it was in the 50s it was the 40s, and in the 60s it was the 50s.
Mm.
And it was so it was not a cultivated town. On Olympic Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get an idea of what art was until I went to college at the University of Washington.
Wow.
1970, 71, uh-huh. 71.
And what turned you on?
The figure drawing classes, of course.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I get to look at women while I make art. This is
yeah,
really
that, I found that, I found that, that to be thing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, really. Yeah, right. Your childhood dreams fulfilled.
Yes. and it was never looked back.
And with that, and beyond that, was there a little something else?
Well,
I don't see any beautiful women in your paintings.
I have married one. How's that, Susan?
There you go. It stops right there.
No, you know, your inquiry expands as you ask questions of this and that and
exactly.
The other thing. You know, you start off with... Edward Hopper and go from there and develop, you know, your inquiry over mm-hmm. That's what art is. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the question you're supposed to ask?
Yeah. Well, it's actually, you know, it's not so much a question as something that my contention is that it's something that if you're an artist or a musician or a poet, you are saying one way or another in what you're doing, how you're thinking, whether you want to do this or not do this, or you like this or you don't like this. One is saying it all the time, but it never really much comes to the surface, what the fundamental principle is in one's own sense of what art is. So rather than think of it as a question which tends to engage the intellectual mechanism or the cognitive part of us that wants to be abstract, I try to make it a statement, like complete the following sentence, art is, and, you know, something more like that, you know. So let's just be talking as though we were in the
addressing
process,
that. Did you start art? Well, art is a process, so it is a continuum, And the question can't be answered. And if it was answered, it would be a boring activity. Because it can't be answered, it isn't, is the answer to that question.
Right.
So it isn't, the question isn't so much then what art is what good art is.
Uh-huh.
Is a question that can be answered from one point of view.
Maybe.
To go forth to try to answer that question, it's much easier to answer it in a negative, which is to say what good art is not, what does not make good art.
Mm-hmm.
So a one thing comes to mind to me if I was to try to address that, which would, I would say, irony and cynicism does not make art good. Now then someone would say Goya.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would say, well, in every case there might be an exception, but generally irony and cynicism does not make good art because of its irony and cynicism. It's less than courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's lots of other things that I could say do not make good art as well. And by going down that kind of thinking, you would start to define what makes good art. Such as, I would say, entertainment in itself does not make good art. Fashion does not make good art.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacle does not make good art.
In and of itself.
But now, I want to bring up, since I've got the floor here,
yeah,
I want to bring up a story, one of a spectacle that I witnessed Dennis Oppenheim, which was fun, and did this exhibition at the time in the late 80s in, I think it was Gibson Gallery on Wooster Street in Soho. I was there, and it was a contraption he was doing in those that was sprawling across the floor and a lot of mechanical pieces to it. Mm-hmm. And within this contraption that was very large, filled the entire gallery space, fireworks were rigged up. And when I walked into the gallery, knowing Dennis Oppenheim at the time, I thought, oh, these aren't just for aesthetic decisions. He's going to light these off. Mm-hmm. There was 100 people in the gallery, some in the back, some in the front, and I was in the front because I knew, or I thought, and indeed he did.
Mm-hmm.
The fireworks went all over the gallery, and the people in the back hit the floor. And I immediately went outside because I stood by the door and saw Dennis running down Wooster Street as the fire engines came up the road, came up Wooster Street. He had to put the fire out because there was places filled with smoke.
Wow.
Now that, was that good art? I don't know. That was a spectacle.
Mm.
And the spectacle of it, stuck with me to this day. And I'm telling the story. That was over 20 some years ago.
Exactly.
So but was that good art? It was a spectacle.
Is it necessary to raise the question, good and bad art all the time? Isn't it, when we actually are alive, aren't we more interested in what is powerful art, what is affecting us? You just described something very powerful. It you're still talking about it 20 years later. Even if you choose that as a negative example, which I realize you have not done, you have not clearly said this was bad art or good art or not good art or whatever. You have raised it as a question as to whether it is good art or not good art. But one thing is very clear: is that it's powerful art. Is it the artist's business to be thinking good, bad art all the time? Isn't it the artist's business to stay with what is truly powerful for him or herself? You tell me.
It is a question not of power but of truth, and it's a truth of one's vision. So the process of making art is trying to define that vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're doing something because of its being a spectacle and gathering attention, that I would say not only you can tell the artist that is the intentions. Well, it isn't. Truth to aspiring to one's vision, mm-hmm. necessarily. It may not, may be, or may not mm-hmm. be, but that's a mm-hmm. question one has to ask.
Yeah.
Not, and that has nothing to do with what you define as power, because there's Morandi made great art, and it wasn't powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
Well, it had a kind of power. You still, you will go back to what... I mean, power isn't just like, I don't mean just power like boom, but power,
this
subtle power. There's all kinds of power. power, I mean, you know, I don't want to quibble over terms because I'm not very interested in these terms as such, but can they lead us to an insight about what we're talking about? And the question is, if something holds our attention, something draws us back, and you just brought up Morandi's name, as many people do, surprisingly, because he was a very subtle artist and not an artist that you would think that many people would necessarily cotton to, and yet he comes up a lot.
The reason I brought him up because what he accomplished was so antithetical to the comparison to what Dennis Oppenheim did, and to the kind of things that are spectacles or sensations that we see in our culture today.
Right.
So I mean, there's some you know, I could bring up Giacometti as well. Mm-hmm. Another one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
And he embodies you are speaking of another kind of power.
Yeah.
That the spectacle that I described earlier is not equal to or parallel with.
Yeah.
So I want to see art that is transcendent of these things like spectacle or fashion or entertainment, and the power comes from other elements that make it powerful.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going with my discussion.
But in that sense, art is a vehicle for that question. It's a vehicle. I would perhaps you might tell me whether you think this is true. Isn't art a vehicle for the raising that question? A vehicle for knowing what that is in some sense.
It can be, but you as well as I, much art out there isn't necessarily concerned with that.
Absolutely.
You can make art out of any kind of intention,
mm-hmm.
and you can call anything you make art. Though, is it art? I would say only if someone else agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the calling of anything, the thin air, is art unless someone else agrees. And indeed, that has been done. Robert Barry. In 1969, released helium into the desert air.
Mm.
And there's a photograph of desert air.
Mm.
And that was seminal conceptual artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And it was identified by Lucy Lippert in this early book on conceptual art.
Mm.
So it was art. Because it was called such, mm-hmm. from someone else.
Don't you have the experience that if somebody important, meaning either that somebody you think is important, believe, or that the public thinks is important, or that the academy thinks is important, says something is art, that it will henceforth from that moment be taken seriously in some way as art, debatably, but nevertheless it will be debated.
Yes, yes. So it will be art then.
So art...
That doesn't necessarily make it good art.
Well, that's another question. You know, to those people, it is good art. To you, it may not be. But this is a very, very relative thing. You know, what do you think of this idea? When I took a course as a sophomore in college, I took a course with a man named Morris Weitz called Philosophy in Literature. Not Philosophy of Literature, but Philosophy in Literature. And he was concerned to show us that even straightforward narratives would have a philosophy embedded somehow in, could have a philosophy embedded in them. And he would look, you know, Marcel Proust, we read Proust, we read Gide, we read all kinds of things that were not necessarily philosophical, they might entertain philosophical ideas, but he wanted to show that there was philosophy embedded in them, and it was not as obvious as it may seem, that one had to sort of look pretty closely to see what the structure of that work was really saying. Now that's a question. Does work for you? He made a statement actually. It was very interesting. He said, "If a person says something is art or good art, it has value. If that person says that, it has value. You cannot deny that it's art. Human being stands up and says that's art, you cannot deny it's art. But if a person stands up and says that's not art, you don't have to believe it." There's something different about the statement that is art from the statement that is not art.
Is there? I could be distrustful if someone says this is art as distrustful if someone
you
says
could, but you
this is not art.
But you couldn't deny its rightful claim to being art.
Because I could not deny its rightful claim for the person to say this is art, right. But I don't have to agree with it.
You don't have to agree with it.
And in fact, if nobody agrees with it, then it's not art.
Obviously.
Is that clear?
Well, if there's
only one single soul on the earth that says it's art.
Then it's not art. If nobody will say it's art, it's not art.
But if one
person says it's art, you have to...
Two. You've got to get the artist to say it and somebody else to agree.
Maybe. Okay.
I think that's the crux of it, other than if it's only one, the guy is a lunatic.
I haven't resolved that question in my own mind.
You haven't resolved it.
I have not resolved that question, but for the sake of argument, I'll definitely accept it, because I may end up on that side of the question too. But the thing is that what I'm saying is that if a person says something is art, it is very difficult to say that it is not in any sense art. But if a person says that's not art, it could be just the person hasn't tuned in.
You know, the
history
of modernism is people at saying this is not art, only to have at a later date come to the realization that this is indeed
art.
It's
happened to me many times in my life. I've denied things that were poetry. I've gotten enraged when I was like 23 years old and going to cafes on the Lower East Side and listening to poetry, carrying my Wallace Stevens in my back pocket, and then Jackson McClough was doing this weird thing with sounds and city things and all this stuff, and I'm saying, how does this guy get off calling this his poetry? 6 months later, I'm walking down the street and objecting. I realized I'd been objecting to David Anton and Jerome Rothenberg and Jackson McClough and Allen Ginsberg, and thinking this is just not real, not good poetry at all. I'm walking down the street. All of a sudden, I had this realization in my mind that I could no longer deny that those works have changed me in some way.
Right.
And I am now very happily embracing them.
Okay, so the question then, at this late date, is can that occur again, particularly in the realm of, let's say, the fine arts, not poetry, because I'm not, can that occur again? I don't think it can.
To me, or you?
To me. That.
Why would you say that?
Because...
Art is full of surprises.
Because there is in my opinion, very... The idea of someone saying, not agreeing with the artist in our contemporary culture, does not happen anymore. Does not happen. Anything can be art, and somebody will say, okay, this is art.
Well, but will they say it with any passion or interest or persuasion? That's my question.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It does. Yes, okay, say, then what matters, it comes right back around, is this art any good or not?
Or does it hold my attention? Is it doing something to me that I find it interesting to have done to me? I mean, art, if you have a pre-existing notion of good and bad, that means there must be a model. Or you're willing to decide that on the spot, in which case you're part of the process of the artwork itself, because you are operating in a zone that you don't have a previous standard for. So you can't say it's both of those things absolutely. It may be both.
Is this, does this rain? We're in a
rainstorm.
We're quite a rainstorm. Is that picked up in the radio?
It is a little, and I just want to tell people there is a tornado warning for Northeast Columbia County and Western Massachusetts for the next 10 minutes.
Wow.
This notion of, you were speaking of a notion of, can one be surprised?
I'm saying that you can, if you can be surprised. You don't think you can, maybe, right now, but you can be surprised just because everything has been called art. When the actual work of some kind of power is in front of you, it can generate an entirely new perception in you that may cause you, even at this late date in your...
This is what you call good art. It isn't the question, you know, it isn't the question, is it art or not? Is there a power in this that transcends its entity, is greater than other lesser examples.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not sure there's a lot of percentage in staying with this question of what is good art and not good art. I found the question to be an inevitable one that is always there as a kind of provocation to my mind. in some way, but I don't actually dwell on it very much. Because as soon as you say, is it good art, is it not good art, you're stuck with trying to say what all of the characteristics of good or bad art might be. You made a little list of what you said were bad art, but I could give you, if we thought about it, pretty much examples
of
every one of those things that has transcended that problem.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
So if that's, it would prove to us that art has the capacity to be beyond our conception in some way. That art may be one of those things that is beyond conception in the way that we use our conceptual thinking, our conceptual mind, our cognitive framing of what art is and our historical perspective on it.
Okay, I'm going to give you another example. Okay, I'm going to come at this in one other way, which is to say that in 1914, 13, Dada came upon the scene as a reaction against certain kinds of bourgeois culture. Mm-hmm. And they revolutionized through their antics and the degenerative type of art, an approach to art that hadn't happened before.
Right.
And we are living very much in the spirit of Dadaism in much of a certain kind of contemporary art that exists now, and it was very evident here in the Hudson Valley in the Nada show at the Basilica in Hudson recently, and it, which is to say it was degenerative art of a certain kind of qualities. Now, degenerative artists like Art Provera, low-rent material, etc. Mm-hmm. And what has changed is that the reaction against the bourgeoisie does not exist anymore. And in fact, it has become part of the ethos of whoever drives the collectors, the gallerists, that drive the contemporary art world. So it is doing actually the opposite that it did 100 years ago. Is that making sense?
Yeah. Okay, Jim, tell me what art is. Just straight out, right now. Never mind good or bad. Just tell me what you think, what from your point of view...
We're only going to conclude on this?
We have to.
Art is an inquiry. Mm-hmm. It's an artist inquiry is what makes art. An inquiry doesn't stop until they die. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a process of inquiry.
Mm-hmm. An inquiry that is different. I mean, the police do inquiry all the time. What is?
Well, it's an inquiry in the one's personal vision. Mm-hmm. So that's makes it quite different. That's a modernist approach of an artist as a singular voice trying to make a poetic statement in the world.
You've just contextualized it as modernism.
Well, that's where that comes from. The notion that in medieval times, the artist was unknown. They were a community. They did not identify themselves as a single person that created their own independent vision apart from society.
Despite the fact that they knew who they were. Go ahead. Yeah.
The medieval
artists. The artists and their friends all knew who they were. I'm not so big on that claim myself that. Anonymity in art. Maybe they didn't write their name down, but I have a feeling that it emanated the way...
They didn't call themselves artists. They were craftsmen. They were people that built cathedrals.
Whatever.
I mean, this started with, the Renaissance.
They knew who they were, and people around them knew who the good ones, capable ones, the ones that they liked were.
There's another. Yeah. You want to go on with this?
No. I just want to say that... that's a minor point. So... Have you told me what art is, then, from your point of view?
I think I have.
You have. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. It's been a pleasure.
Jim, you're great to talk to. Really. Okay. This has been Jim Hall, H-O-L-L, by the way. You have to get that right, H-O-L-L, because there's this small, tiny number of these H-O-L-Ls in our existence.
Thank you, George.
Yes. Thank you, Jim.